Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right. Busy day. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Happy Monday, April 8th to you. Yes, it's Eclipse Day. And we will have our reporters out and about, namely John Martin there at the end of the show, because I'm not going to look up at it. I'm not going to burn up my retina today. You understand what I'm saying? But the kiddies, they've got their glasses, and this is a special day for many. We're traveling to Arkansas, I'm saying. Going to get 100% totality. We get 97 around here, and I'm fine again with 97. It's a big day because it feels like there's news that's eclipsing tonight's national championship game, and it's true. John Calipari news will do that, especially when he's on the move. How about that? Arkansas, striking. They were down 0-2 in the count, apparently.
Man.
Right?
Man.
No Chris Beard. No Jerome Tang. And what did they do down 0-2? Boy, they pulled back and swung for the fences. I'd be dang if they didn't hit a home run.
Some are saying it's the most shocking coaching hire in the history of the sport. And I would probably put it up there.
They hit a home run, maybe a grand slam.
Yeah.
Yeah. No question about it. It's the news today, and it is. It's news that seems to have dwarfed the national championship game, which also tonight, women's championship is over. South Carolina did that, finished undefeated. We had Marc Gasol night on Saturday night. So much to get. The Showboats lost, John, on some garbage rules. Garbage!
Pain.
Our whole season might be done. And then, yeah, it's Eclipse Day. So we got Respect Burgers, got a full show. Glad to see you guys.
Hope title change good with the weekend. Tribal Chief. Don't forget that.
There was one thing in WrestleMania that I enjoyed immensely.
Oh, really? You were kind of locked in? Did you get it on the Super Box?
Just for one thing. Just for one person.
Who was that?
We'll talk about it later.
All right, we'll talk about it later. Hey,
I know it was very exciting. Two nights of WrestleMania.
It was two nights of WrestleMania. Leave that for you. Yeah. I watched two matches. That's all I was really interested in. But they delivered, I would say, those two matches in their totality. So, anyway, yeah, we'll talk about that. We have a loaded show. You're right. It is the national championship game, as it is the two best teams in America facing off. The two teams that have rated the highest on KenPom all year long, the two teams that have taken on all comers, that have seven-foot-plus behemoths in the post. They are meeting tonight for all the marbles in Glendale, and UConn is a 7-point favorite.
Do you have something on it?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
We'll talk about that. I'll take you through my logic tonight.
Okay.
I was on Purdue versus NC State, as you know. And that kind of play, it was a little closer than I thought it would be, but we did get the job done on the cover there.
Man, neutralized my man Burns.
Yes, no question. Alabama and UConn were tied at 56 with 12:40 to play. And UConn rolled them from there.
That's what they do.
I could not believe the fact that they won that game by 14 despite being tied at 56 with 12 to play. Like, that is kind of nuts.
They are a tidal wave, and it could come at any point.
Yes, they are. They are.
But it's coming.
It is coming. You're exactly right. It's just you have to have a little cushion because it will come. The ease
Ask Illinois.
With which they rattle off these 7-0, 8-0, 10-0 runs, it's unlike anything we've really seen. It's NBA stuff. It's like when you watch an NBA game, that happens on the regular. 7-0, 8-0, 10-0, 12-2. That happens all the time in NBA, right? It doesn't happen, and it's not supposed to happen nearly as much in college basketball. But for the UConn Huskies, it does. And so we'll get into that today on the show. John Calipari is about to call the Hogs. I mean, it's just a it's so good. It's so good.
So long to the hopes of getting the Memphis, Arkansas home and home.
Yeah, exactly. Kiss that goodbye. That's never
done.
Happening.
That's done.
Never happening.
But that's okay.
It is okay. It was a long shot anyway. It's not like anything changed. You hope that the next coach might be a little open to it. He will not be. But my Arkansas friend said that he cannot wait for Cal's conversations with Joe from West Fork during his coach's show with the catfish hole. I mean, that is good. It is going to be a little bit of an adjustment.
He's going to be the mayor of Fayetteville.
But yes, we'll get into
it. He'll be eating out of his hand.
You and I have not talked about this in depth before the show. But it sounds like we are on the same page about it. So we will get into that here momentarily. Mark Spears going to join us at 12:25. We'll talk all things NBA with him. I'm locking back into NBA.
Good.
You will be pleased to know that I was watching Suns Pelicans last night. And
a lot of people are picking the Pelicans as a team you don't want to see.
Well, I get why. When you watched that game yesterday, dude, Zion Williamson.
I know.
My God.
It's apparently a thing this year.
29 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks.
Played all season long, pretty much.
Yes. Dude, he was knocking down 15-footers. He was doing it all. Getting to the free throw line, it was sublime. Like, that was the Zion Williamson.
No, calm down.
That's who we thought he would be last night against the Phoenix Suns. On the road, mind you. I think the Pelicans had lost 4 in a row. Suns had won 6 in a row.
Yeah.
They waltz up in there. They get the dub. 6-point underdogs. Don't ask me how I know, because I think you know how I know. All right.
That is not the news of the day.
No, it's not, but it's just something to keep an eye on, brother.
We're wading through the waters.
We'll talk to Mark Spears about this. Grizzlies retiring Marc Gasol's jersey.
That was what a thing.
That scene. Absolutely. So we'll get into all of that. You were there?
Yep.
That's amazing.
I'll tell you about that later.
Grizzlies
did something I really appreciated.
Your seat from the International Space Station. You actually got a chance to be there for this momentous event.
Upper level, row T. I'll have you know, there's nothing behind T. That's the last row.
And you were there.
I was up there looking for the record.
you are you sure you weren't installing it?
I could have. I told Chris, I think we're going to be able to touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure that the Grizzlies didn't contract you to put it up.
I thought it went in. I was telling Chris, no, it's going to go into the double letters at some point. And so T will eventually get there. T up in the 200s, not sure if you know, John. It's the last row, bro.
That's crazy, bro.
So I've got a report from up top.
Oh, that's great. Like with the hoi polloi for real.
Yep. Appreciate the Grizzlies.
Did you slap on a fresh coat of paint while you were up there?
Those tickets.
I mean, you might as well just made it productive, man.
Should have seen me climbing up there. Could not believe how high we were.
That's like in the sphere, bro. Yep.
I had the bird's eye view.
Man, that's
Saturday night.
Bro was on the catwalk.
I'll tell you about it.
I
could have dropped the streamers, but we knew that wasn't going to happen either, didn't we? Very early.
Oh, man. So we'll talk to Mark Spears about Jason's seat at 12:25.
No, we won't bother him with that.
Respect Burgers at 1 o'clock.
Mm.
I assume the hospitality of the Grizz will get one at 1. And then at 1:25, Jason Fitz is in Arizona, so we will talk to him from the Final Four, hopefully.
Excellent.
At 125. So
much to get to.
That's the show today. Yeah, it's overwhelming, but we got plenty of time to talk about the college basketball national championship. It doesn't really involve anything locally, so it's not really the top story of the day here in Memphis. What is the top story of the day in Memphis and nationally is the fact that John Calipari, at 65 years old, after 15 years at Kentucky, is taking the Arkansas job. He is the next coach at Arkansas. And it's just crazy to think about the chain reaction, right?
Yeah.
If SMU just doesn't fire Rob Lanier, all of this probably doesn't happen. But because SMU said your 20 wins after 10 a year ago weren't enough.
Well, and that's because they're on the way to the ACC.
Right. So, yeah, it really starts with that.
Right, because it would have been enough.
Correct. It starts with the SMU program moving to the ACC.
Correct.
Then they say this is not enough. Mm-hmm. Then Andy Enfield has a horrible year with Bronny James and those guys, so he wants to get out.
Reset.
So then Musselman has a bad year with his group, and he wants to get out.
Reset.
So then Cal has a bad year with his group, and he wants to get out.
Reset.
And here we are.
How about that?
These are all coaches that were just basically getting ahead of the posse. Except for Rob Lanier, who was probably wrongfully fired based on his performance. But this is a situation where he knows how much pressure he was going to be under at Kentucky next year. It was really do or die. He had not, for whatever reason, had good tournament variance the last few years, certainly more national embarrassments in the tournament than Final Four runs over the last few years. And I think both parties were probably just growing sick of each other. That's kind of how that felt. They wanted to fire him this year. I mean, everybody was, Matt Jones up there at Kentucky Sports Radio was pushing forward. So there's just a heap of scrutiny. And it's hard. It's hard to operate in that window when if you don't do X, Y, and Z this year, you're gone. So he gets this offer from Arkansas. Apparently he's held it, in high regard for a long time. I have some questions about the process, like how it's played out like this. How have you loved Cal? Like, how was Cal your third call?
I think that's an interesting part of the story is that we're not here and Cal's not getting a chance to push the reset button if their first two swings don't come through, right? I mean, do we completely believe that Chris Beard, we know, turned it down, Jerome Tang as well.
Yes.
So you were 0 for 2, like we said, in the count.
Yeah, like if you...
And so he and Ellen are not having this conversation if they haven't struck out on the first, swung and missed on the first two attempts there.
Exactly. So was Cal really the third? Like, that's crazy to me.
It is crazy.
Like, I don't know. Maybe they didn't think they could get Cal.
I told them last night, but do you remember a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about dominoes falling and what might happen in Arkansas? We had heard on. He said we asked about Tang. He said, "Don't like the fit."
Right. He did say that. He did say that. So,
and at some point, it was there. Apparently,
yeah.
It gets to Cal. He and Ellen, his wife, probably. I got to imagine probably feeling underappreciated at this point. I mean, what are we talking about here? The fact that Kentucky's turned against him, the city's turned against him, Kentucky radio's turned against him, and you get an opportunity to hit the reset button and get all the promises in the world from the place that you're going in Arkansas, because for them this is a coup. I mean, what are we talking about here? And it's amazing we got here, because I don't think we ever thought that it would get to Cal. That was not one of the names we discussed, because what did we thought? We thought Kentucky's best job in the SEC, you're going to take a step down. It's a step down.
Yep.
He's decided he's ready to do that because of the heat up there.
I think there's something
to
be said.
Smart on his part to hit the reset button.
Oh, I think it's
sounds like we're on the same page.
It's a perfect decision, really. It's a perfect job. I have absolutely no doubt that John Calipari is going to crush it at Arkansas. I think it's a match made in heaven, to be quite honest.
Well, you number one, he's motivated.
That's the biggest piece of this. This is not Tubby Smith.
That's first for me.
This is not Tubby Smith getting a golden parachute, right?
Correct.
This is Cal staying in the same league.
Yeah, man. Going right back up in Lexington.
And you cannot convince me that was not part of the equation.
And I mean, he had the number two class,
Yes.
Obviously, he's gotten the promises from Arkansas. We're going to give you everything you need in terms of NIL. You think he's going to sit up here and not try to take all of that and get you back?
No question.
For what I got to assume how you treated him at the end. At least coming from his perspective, how he feels.
John Calipari, how we always do like these Mount Rushmores or like sports movies and Mount Rushmores are like greatest athletes. Like if we did a Mount Rushmore for people that are driven to stick it to other people, Cal's on my Mount Rushmore of that next to Tom Brady. You know, it's like Tom Brady when he went to Tampa Bay, right? He wanted to show the world that it was not about Bill. Mm-hmm. Bill was not the reason for my success. Don't ever get it twisted. It was the other way around. So Tom was motivated well into his 40s, and what he do in Tampa Bay? He won a Super Bowl his first year,
yep.
Right? I think Cal is driven the same way. He's got like this innate drive to want to prove to people the NBA when they ran him off. You know, the Kentucky, you know, now that they've said that he's not good enough, you know, the rest of the college basketball world who said he couldn't do it at UMass, the rest of the college basketball world when he was at Memphis who said that they can never be a one seed because they play in Conference USA, right? Like, he's driven by that stuff. He is that. That's what makes the great ones the great ones. And, look, there's nothing that he could do at Kentucky that he's not going to be able to do in Fayetteville. It's the second best job in the SEC. Mm-hmm. Maybe third now if you want to say Texas because they're coming in. But it's one of the top three jobs in the SEC. You just said it. The NIL package is going to be as good as anybody's in the country, if not better. He's got all of Tyson behind him. That's not going to be the problem. Right. I think what he just has to do is I can't explain it, man. I don't know how to explain it. But sometimes in certain relationships and with certain partners, you're just not willing to change. You're just not willing to do stuff. You know, you got to get out of that relationship before you start exercising and eating right. You know what I mean? I can't explain it. I don't know why. But it happens. And I think with Cal, now you're going to see him lean less on the freshmen, lean less on those high school kids, and now he's going to recruit the transfer portal in a way that he just hasn't.
Perfect opportunity to make a change or to adjust.
It's just like anybody else. Yeah, like Pastner went out and he hired a former head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't do it here. He had to go to Georgia Tech to do it.
Exactly.
I can't explain it. I don't know why, but it's almost like you got to get those new digs before you start doing the things that you probably should have been doing. So, look, I know he's 65. He could have just said, I'm done. He could have just called it a career and gotten paid.
No, you said it all. And like most that, you know, well, many that are around his age or a little bit older, John still wants to play the game. He wants this NIL life, and he wants to be armed with all of it. And like you said, as motivated as he is, I would think there's some, you know, some resentment I would feel like towards Kentucky. You're getting a John Calipari that's going to be absolutely sharp and motivated. And so, like, it's sort of like we've said about Penny Hardaway and being motivated. Obviously, here it's going to be you were motivated enough to take the step down. See, that's the thing about leaving Memphis and taking all the recruits. You were going up to the to the blue blood, you know, for Kentucky folks.
That's right.
You know, and then to be the third pick.
Right.
He's taking the step down. You know he's what he's going to want to do with it. He's going to want to come back to get you. And the question is, can you be as good as you were under John? I know you were writing, and we've said it. He needed to win more than one national title in that 15 years that he was there with that kind of talent. But let's be real, too. I mean, Kentucky, on a year-to-year basis, was one of the storylines of college basketball. There's not that guaranteed with the next guy, especially if you can't get Dan Hurley, which why would Dan want to go into that? And so there's a good chance you take a step back, and you're doing it with him elevating Arkansas in the process. They're going to rue the day, and I know that's the way that I would think that's the way Cal's hoping to make it for him.
Yes.
So a lot of people are asking about Billy Richmond III.
Yeah, I don't think
he's committed to Kentucky, the Memphis product.
I don't see why people think that would change. Like why. Like, he didn't commit to Kentucky because he wanted to wear Kentucky's uniform. He committed to Kentucky because his dad played for Cal and there was a relationship with Cal.
Worth you addressing.
So my guess is he would follow Cal to Fayetteville. I mean, I don't see why that wouldn't happen. I don't think that, you know, again, I haven't talked to Billy about it, but that's just my that's my initial reaction. It's like if you
I had the same reaction.
Right, you committed to Cal. You didn't commit to Kentucky. You committed to Cal.
Mm-hmm.
You know Cal. You played for Cal. You got the relationship with Cal. I don't think Arkansas is just, I mean, it's not like there's just some big drop-off, right? He didn't go from Kentucky to Canisius. What I mean? He went from Kentucky to the second or third best job in the SEC. So I don't see any reason why you would change that up. If Cal still wants Billy Richmond, that's where I assume he will be in Fayetteville next year. Just a little detour. You're a little further west and north, right?
Yeah, especially if you can, like, bump up the NIL.
Exactly.
You know, make it a little sweeter for him to follow you down there.
Sure.
And again, it sounds like Arkansas is going to provide Cal with everything he needs in that department.
Exactly. Yeah. So look, I think I've been wrong before. I thought Shaka was going to really kill it at Texas. He didn't.
The whole country did.
Yeah.
There weren't many who said that ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
Everybody loved that fit.
But I think that you're dealing with a guy that's rejuvenated now in Cal, and Yeah, you're right. I don't know where Kentucky goes from here. I don't know who wants to take that job, who wants the smoke there. Nobody wanted to follow Cal here at Memphis. I assume it won't be easy all the same in Lexington. They're going to call Dan Hurley, and he's going to say no.
I say he says no. What about Scott Drew?
I mean,
would you go Scott Drew, Bruce Pearl? You'd call Scott Drew first.
Yeah, of those two.
He has the title.
But why would Scott Drew do it?
Again, like, you are going into a pressure cooker where if you don't win the national championship every year, they will look at you as you underachieved.
And he's set up for life. He's won a title at Baylor. Maybe he just want. Maybe it's like
unless
maybe
you still look at Kentucky
right.
as that.
Maybe he
as
want,
the end all be all.
Because,
and that is the crowning.
Yes.
You know, in terms of my job, my field,
right.
getting that job is the crown jewel.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure there are coaches out there who look at it that way.
Well, sure.
Again, you are, but a great, you know, risk comes with that in terms of the
Absolutely.
Pressure cooker that you put yourself in.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Cal left Memphis, to be clear. He could have done everything he wanted to do at Memphis, could have kept it rolling. He had that class committed. He had everything he was ever – like, Memphis was on top of the college basketball world, and it would have stayed that way.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, you know what? I've done it at UMass. I've done it at Memphis. I got to show myself and the world that I can do it in a big pond. So, you know, Baylor, I kind of put in that – like, Baylor plays, you know – I mean, how many people like, what's their capacity for their home arena, Foster Pavilion? You know, I don't know. Like, is it a super big arena? I know they pack it out, but it's not Rupp, you know?
I don't.
7,500.
You'll never be able to please them.
7,500 capacity at Baylor home games. It's triple that at Kentucky.
And remember, Scott didn't want to follow Cal here. You want to follow him in Lexington?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, maybe the timing is a little better. Maybe the timing is right.
It is. I mean, he's, again, if you want to push the reset, but he's not coming off of a bad year at Baylor.
No, he's coming off
where
of
where they're unhappy with
right.
him. Sure, after you've won a national championship, they're always going to want more. But to your point, he's fine there. It's not a warm seat as it was for Cal at Kentucky. So I would advise Scott not to do it. But perhaps, to your point, he sees that as an end-all, be-all, the
right.
destination job and would have, you know, has
yes.
envisioned himself in a seat like that.
And maybe he feels like he's topped out at Baylor. Maybe he feels like he's done all you can
what
do.
What if you can't get Scott Drew?
Well, then you go to you know, your next group, which would be like Nate Oates.
Bruce, Nate Oates.
Anthony Hardaway. I'm kidding about that, but Bet Online, which actually takes bets on this stuff. It's not like those fake things that, like, don't take bets. Penny's 25-1 to be the next Kentucky coach, which is the same odds as Bruce Pearl. Just to put that in perspective, 25-1. And they list him as Anfernee, by the way. They don't call him Penny. They call him Anfernee, his government name.
We haven't talked about Penny losing Ashton.
We have not. We have not even talked about that.
That happened after we got off the air.
Yes.
I said, I wish that had happened while we were on the air.
Yes. Just the raw reaction that would have garnered, no doubt. We do have to address that. There is no question about it. But anyway, yeah. Boy. Look, we're both on the same page, which makes this a little less interesting of a segment. But
it's about Cal. I'm going to Arkansas. What are we talking about here?
Right.
It turned college basketball on its head last night. Again,
what?
We are not talking national championship game because of this.
Not at all.
And it's not just us. It's everywhere.
People are skeptical. People are like, well, you know, what's
skeptical
he gonna,
of what?
What's he going to change? What's he going to change that he couldn't? If he couldn't do it at Kentucky, why do you all of a sudden think he's going to do it? First of all, I think there's this like. There's this, like, wrong, misplaced perception that Cal didn't win at Kentucky. Cal won a lot at Kentucky. He won six SEC regular season championships. He went to four Final Fours. He won a national championship. Yes, disappointing, really disappointing failures of seasons when you have the talent that he has, losing in the first round as often as he's lost St. Peter's,
mm-hmm.
Oakland, obviously. I feel like I'm missing one. Kansas State last year in the second round, like, yes, they have absolutely in the last 4 to 5 years left some money on the table. But I will give him a little bit of grace because I'm acknowledging that he didn't adapt as quickly as he needed to adapt to the transfer portal and everything. He decided he was going to still do it his way with the one-and-dones and the freshmen, and it's an older man's game now. It's not – you can't just do that anymore.
Yeah.
And so I think now with the new change of scenery, he's going to change his philosophy. And I think Arkansas becomes a transfer destination.
Well, or they can eat out of your hand doing it the way you've done it. I'm thinking Arkansas would be happy with, you know, what he's done at Kentucky. They'd be just fine with that. But there is the opportunity to adjust some of the things you've done. One thing's too about we were discussing. I had another text about Billy. Wasn't LSU in there for him as well?
Yeah, I think it was. It was LSU.
So I'm just saying, but before Memphis, I would just again, and I realize mom, you know,
yes,
is and she's made it clear on social media that she's you know right there running the recruitment and everything else with her son. But you know, if anything, I'd say LSU'd have a better shot maybe if Billy's going to reopen that recruitment than a Memphis. Than Penny does. It felt like, you know, again, the opportunity to play with Curtis Givens, the third.
Yes.
Who, oh, by the way, you see what he did this weekend?
Oh, I did not.
They won the whole thing. Montverde finished undefeated. He led the team scoring in the championship game. Yeah, same team with Cooper Flag, everything else. Anyway, I'd say watch out for LSU if Billy truly opens this thing and don't want to go to Fayetteville. But again, I would say Cal's going to have as much or more in terms of NIL, and he's going to want to stick it to Kentucky. You know, stick it to them, and so what better than to take most of this number two ranked class with you again, especially if you have the promises from Arkansas that we're going to take care of you on the NIL side. So again, I'd expect Billy to follow Cal to Fayetteville, but even if he didn't,
yep.
I mean LSU's still a player in that. You got to figure it in. Maybe you'd still consider Memphis.
I just don't think
there've been some things said publicly too. You know, with Dad, and Penny. So. Sure, I'd love if you could get Billy all of a sudden to stay quote unquote home because this is still where he came up. But
I
would say it's a long shot. Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, the national championship game tonight doesn't start until 8:20.
I know it's ridiculous, and that's 9:20 on the East Coast.
People are very upset about this.
Yeah, I mean they won't go to bed until late.
Do you think this will be one of those nights where you fall asleep in the chair?
No.
Okay,
this is what's great. The best two teams all year long.
Absolutely.
We're getting that tonight.
When's the last time we had that?
It's a good question.
I know Kansas-Memphis was one.
Yeah.
Surely
since then, though, at least something's qualified.
I'm going to have to look it up because I feel like we don't.
One of them Gonzaga games.
Gonzaga-Baylor.
Uh-huh.
That one was
pretty much.
Yeah.
Those feels
two.
Like it, yeah.
And it was a blowout, by the way.
Yeah.
And this one's -7. I mean, this is crazy. You know, UConn and Purdue, like the idea that Purdue is a 7-point underdog to somebody is nuts to me. But it's probably fair. It's probably fair the way that UConn has been playing. they're just dominating everybody, bro. They've covered 11 straight NCAA tournament games. It's never happened. They're favorites in every single one of them.
Will this game be as watched as the women's game?
No. It will not.
Amazing.
It will not. Also, because I think this is on TBS. That's the first thing.
It is on TBS.
So that will hurt. People will not find it as easily.
I'm sorry, but we need to redo the team.
Oh, the broadcast team?
Yes.
Who is it?
It's still Ian.
Okay.
I'm done with Raftery and Grant Hill. Should have shipped them out when we moved on from Nance. I'm sorry.
Wow, Raftery's getting caught in the riptide?
I'm just not going to single out Grant.
Onions!
The opportunity was there to update.
I think you have to single out.
You didn't
out.
Do it.
I mean, Grant.
What does Grant Hill bring?
Right. So you. But
what does he bring?
That's your beef. And I think for you to bring Raftery into it was a little out of bounds. Because Raftery actually does bring something. He brings like the accent.
His
he
little
does.
Sayings
Onions!
Or anything else.
Onions.
He's not as sharp as he used to be.
Well, who is at whatever
saying,
at 90 years
not,
old?
You know what? You're right. I mean, he was still fine with Nance. Everything. There's just an opportunity to reset there,
right?
Like we've been talking
with
about
Grant
reset
Hill.
All day.
Go get my man from the Pelicans broadcast. He's awesome.
I'd prefer Clark Kellogg over Grant Hill.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they did Clark wrong.
Grant,
my man on the HBCU game.
Yeah,
Clark.
Yeah, Grant just kind of
does straight studio work, and then they pulled him out for the HBCU game. Had him on there with Avery. Say Clark is better than Grant Hill.
Yeah, I agree. But
this don't
is what
pick
we
on
have.
Your boy Raftery, huh? Too early.
Well, I think Raftery is just kind of off.
It's not a Corso situation. I will mm-hmm. say Raftery is still contributing.
Yeah. But
I'm telling you, man, Grant is soft. He's soft on that broadcast.
He is.
Everybody's good.
Yes.
It's weak.
Villanova, North Carolina in 2016, I feel like was the two best teams, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would have been in that discussion. But it does not happen, you know, super often.
But we're saying that what we're going to see is that, no, UConn was actually on a whole another plane by itself.
Well, that's what the market is suggesting.
That's what we're going to see tonight.
That's what the market is suggesting.
They're going to run circles around Purdue.
Oh, buddy. We'll talk about this. Get into that. Also, yeah, as you mentioned, Penny Hardaway's son is transferring. Ashton is leaving.
Oh, my Lord. We didn't do it. We got to do with that brother gone.
We got to do that brother gone.
So much to get there. That brother gone.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Lifetime Movement has changed the movement in the city of Memphis. I know some people that could use it. And if that is you, call them. 316-6196 is the phone number. Get on the schedule because it's spring, which means people are going to absolutely be moving, getting in the school districts they want to be in, all that. You know how it goes. And they can do it all. They're going to show up, give you that black tie, red carpet treatment, get everything done quickly, stay on budget. They're the best in Memphis. Wherever you're going, cross town, cross country, call them. 316-6196 is the phone number. It's Black Tie Moving, changing moving in the city of Memphis. Call today. All right. So, interesting development as we got off the show on Friday. The news bulletin comes across like fireside chat. Dwight Eisenhower, Woodrow Wilson. I mean, it was, you know, that's how we get our news, right? We sit around the fireplace with the radio on. That's the only way to do it in 2024. But the bulletin comes across, and we have a new entry from the University of Memphis into the transfer portal. Like, damn, right? Who is it? Is it Jourdain? Is it David Jones? I mean, I don't know who's left at that point. Like, who
yeah,
could?
You don't have very many choices.
Who is it? Because it's not Ashton. That's his son. It's not like he would transfer. It's his son, bro. It's his kin. So you're just like, you're worried. You see, if it's a Memphis player has entered the portal, you're just like, damn, like we really needed David Jones. Like, you can't lose him. And Jourdain, even though he is a little quirky, he does have his good moments.
Why do y'all call him quirky?
He's a quirky player. Because, like, he can have, like, great games, and then he'll have, like, offers. You know, he's just a quirky player. Not bad, just, you know,
yeah.
Quirky.
I'll take 40% from three from my bigs.
Yeah. And so I'm just like, man, what a loss that is for the Tigers. Just trying to figure out how I'm going
to. That's what you said to yourself.
Package this, you know, when I read the rest of the tweet, and I'm just like, who is it? And then I see it. Oh, my God.
I mean, some had speculated about this.
Yeah, some had apparently speculated about this.
Yeah, behind the scenes. I don't know how much public speculation there was.
If it ain't
but
public.
But you were as shocked by this as you were by Cal leaving Kentucky or Arkansas.
Well, yeah, if it ain't public, it doesn't count.
You don't see very many sons transferring away from fathers, though.
Now, I believe it is Ashton Hardaway. Connor McCaffrey, I think, is
is the example.
He transferred away from his dad, Fran. I think that happened this year. One of the McCaffreys.
Okay.
But
I mean, he'll curse you.
Right. I mean, he's an intense man.
He will curse you, and he doesn't care if you're his son.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about
Patrick
Kenny.
McCaffrey, sorry. It's yeah. Patrick. He entered the transfer portal. Now, I don't know, like, I don't know, did he play? Did he not? I don't know. I don't know what the situation is. But I did see that.
And so it's not, thank you, it's not unprecedented.
It's not unprecedented.
Thank you for laying out that fact.
Although it is rare. It is rare. And yeah, Patrick McCaffrey was a starter for the first half of the year for Iowa.
Well, Fran just talking too much ish.
I guess so, man. I guess he said he was done with it. And is that an earthquake?
Did you feel that? Yeah. It wasn't an urgent.
They're just working on the parking lot.
You shouldn't do that.
I'm just saying.
It's outside. They're working on the parking lot.
Scare people thinking we get an earthquake and eclipse same day.
Well, you felt that. I don't know what the hell that was.
It was underneath us. They're working on the parking lot.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway. It was an earth shattering development when Ashton Hardaway announced that he was entering the transfer portal, which now leaves Memphis with three.
In terms of returnees?
Yeah.
Well, Jordan.
Harris.
Now, who's not a returnee.
Right, he's not a returnee. So, the two. Not more than one.
I mean, you're hoping David Jones comes back.
You have one guy right now that's returning from last year.
Yes. Ashton and Sharon Font are gone.
Correct. So, and David Jones is uncommitted.
Correct. Yes, you won't know until after the waters have been tested.
Right. So, that's not great. Not that you like were depending on Ashton for anything. But
exactly. No one had Ashton penciled into the starting lineup next year anyway. But you did. We're talking about, again, those things like continuity, keeping guys in your program that are ready to take the step up. You know, after some development, Ashton Hardaway decided, no, I'm probably better off somewhere else. I'm curious, again, because Penny knows what this looks like optically. And those eyebrows would be raised. Clearly, he feels like I can go in another direction. And my issue is this: it's sort of like with Jonathan Lawson. At one point, you thought your son was good enough to contribute for you, at some point during his career for Memphis. And so, unless that has changed, I don't understand not holding on to these guys, and particularly knowing what it would look like optically. Penny decided, I don't need it. Again, who does Penny decide to hold on to? He'll let the door hit you. You know what I'm saying? That feels like what the Godfather is telling us. And in this case, his own kin, as John says.
I need to know.
Yeah, nobody is saying,
which side
though,
of it was, who initiated what?
This is not, let's make this very clear. This is not a deal where it looks like Penny has lost control of the program because Ashton Hardaway is leaving. It is an eyebrow raiser that you don't think you're the guy to have, for Ashton to reach his potential, it's not with you. That's interesting.
Right.
Or for Ashton to think he can't reach that with you. I mean, I could sort of understand it from Ashton's standpoint.
Right.
You're going to recruit over me, all this stuff. When am I ever going to get my time? But for Penny, you thought enough of him at one point to bring him in here. Same thing with Jonathan. And you don't hold on to some of these guys.
Right.
So another spot opens, another spot to fill, but again, Ashton Hardaway, from a basketball standpoint, I can't sit up here and tell you this is some huge loss.
But again, it's versions of this guy every year,
it's
right?
It's the fact that you have to replace another one that was in your system. Yeah. You got to do more teaching. That is more the story here,
Yeah. Should we get the Godfather music? I just need to know,
how does that conversation go when you got to push your own son out the family? And or did your son turn on you? Maybe he doesn't want to be a part of the family. Maybe he doesn't want to be a part of the family business. You know what I'm saying? Maybe Ashton don't want no part of that. He wants something different for his life.
What's less drama?
Have a seat. This is gonna hurt me in a way that I ain't never hurt before. I've had one son the whole year, the whole time I've had him. My pride and joy. Jaden. And I tell people all the time, y'all gonna miss him when he's gone. Y'all gonna miss him when he's gone. I already miss him today. Trying to do the medical red shirt thing if it's out there. But I bring you in, and you have so much potential, son. You have so much potential. You were the closest thing I have to me. You were 6'9", ball skills. You had everything in front of you. But what do you come here and do? You disappoint me. You disappointed me, and you ain't me. You ain't half. You know who you are? You're half cent. You're half cent like Chris Rock. So what I'm gonna do, and what I typically like to do in situations where I leave disappointed, because this is my program, I have run off players related to me, not related to me. I had other sons in this program like Lomax, who I kept. He wasn't my family, but he really was. He delivered for me. He delivered for me.
Yeah.
Alo, as it relates to the basketball court, was more of a son to me than you have been. And that is why it hurts me to have to do this. I had to call your mother. I had to call your mother and I had to say, get his ass up out of here! Because I got to make the tournament next year. And I don't care if you're my blood or not. Blood is thicker than water. But I ain't trying to go to the firing line. And you see what I do with my water bottles. I throw them in the crowd if I don't like the result. So I have to get you out of here, Ashton. Love you, young man. It's you are still a great source of achievement for me. And I'll help you. I'll place you wherever you got to go. But they don't call me the Godfather for nothing. They don't call me cutthroat for nothing. So all the media says, I got to make tough decisions. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to change this. I got to change that. Well, how about this? I'll cut my own damn son, Jason Smith. How you like that? Is that enough for you, Jermaine? Yeah, so there you go. That's
wow.
Again, I don't know.
Round of applause, please.
It might have been. It might have been like completely different.
Ruthless.
It might have been the other way around, totally. Right. It might have been like Ashton saying, "I don't want to be a part of this."
Watch him go to Arkansas.
It's far more fun to imagine, you know, that way.
That's great.
That's tough, though, right? I mean, I will say, as a dad, it's like, damn. Whichever way was initiated.
It's, but to your, I mean, he held the key there was that Jaden was the pride. He held on to Jaden.
Yes, he did.
Held on tight,
man.
Put him out there and everything else, and then with Ashton, it's just like deuces. That's hard.
I mean,
even if Ashton wanted out, you're not holding on. You know
exactly.
Held on to Jaden.
Like, all right, enough. Like. You're coming back. You're going to be a sophomore
right.
here.
Yeah. We're not getting worked out. You're not transferring. You're going to be your best with me.
Right.
You know.
It is funny that we have branded the man as the Godfather and his own son
Yes.
It's pretty damn appropriate.
They want to be a part of the family business.
Yeah, it's one or the other. Either he said he doesn't want to be here or Penny said it's not going to work out. I lean toward the former. That makes way more sense.
Yes.
That it's
Ashton
saying.
When am I
going to
get my opportunity?
Yeah, and I don't like the way this is going.
This dynamic.
I need to go on my own. I need to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But again, way more fun to imagine Penny sitting at sundown saying, you got to get the hell up out of here. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell up out of here. And again, it's like, in a vacuum, it's the same thing I said about Sharon Font. In a vacuum, it's not that devastating, but every single year, you have versions of this guy transferring after 1 year. Right. These guys never stay for two. They never get a chance to turn into something, you know? And I think that's so when you lose, it's like the opportunity cost, right? It's a lot. You've lost a lot of opportunity over the years with, you know, Nesbitt and, you know, just, I mean, there have been a lot of players, Sharon Font, Pierre,
right.
You know, Ashton, there have been others, you know, you know, Antoine Jones, like, again, some of those you made the decision on, sometimes they made the decision, but it just feels like that's what's been missing.
Jonathan Lawson, you invested two years in.
He shot 40% from three. Like, I know he didn't play at Creighton. I know that was, you know, I don't know exactly what the situation was there, but he was a 40% shooter for you. Like, you're telling me that he couldn't have played on that team last year? He couldn't have been depth for you? You know, and then, like, imagine a world where he's a junior.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back after having played 2 years, all of a sudden you're talking about him as a guy that might average double figures so that's the part of it that I feel like is just the
well, and Ashton could shoot too. This wasn't
right,
something
he had
you had to tell yourself. There was a skill there that he had, and he did it in the Michigan game. He did it in a win this year for you, and so it wasn't a deal where, you know, sort of like with Jaden, you're, well, what's his role going to be? At least with Ashton, you knew the shooting was going to be there, and you figured that was something that could help your program going forward. And then the rest of it, you would get figured out. So, again, also unfortunate that you're talking about what's returning next year. This is teaching an entirely new crew. And, no, last year was a lot of the same. You didn't bring back a lot, but, again, the more teachers you have in there, guys that have been in your program, you know, it makes that job a little bit easier. You're basically cleaning up again in terms of all new cupboard of guys. That's hard to do on a year-to-year basis and keep a culture, keep an identity, you know. But hopefully, again, many of these transfers, at least the first couple we've seen, including Dane Danger, you've got multiple years, Haggerty as well. So It's got to start somewhere. I suppose it's going to start with these multi-year transfers.
Yeah. So, look, again, that's they have one guy returning. Just a verbal commitment, but I assume Jordan, he hasn't entered the portal, so I assume that will mean he's coming back. But damn, man, it's just, you know, like Bomani Jones tweeted today. He said Cal's arrival at Arkansas is going to make Penny's job a lot harder now, and that's not true because the only person I truly believe this, the only person that can make Penny's job hard is Penny. There's no threat to me. Penny's been going up against these dudes for years.
Right.
And in many cases, coming out on top.
Winning.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He beat Cal for DeAndre Williams. A lot of people don't know that, but don't remember that. But Kentucky was one of his finalists, and they wanted him bad.
Yeah.
And Penny won out. So it's not him being a little bit closer in Fayetteville ain't going to change that. It don't change that. Penny makes Penny's job hard. He's the only person that controls the degree of difficulty with his work here. And this is the hardest he's ever had. This is the hardest he's ever had it. Because one returner, and, I mean, dude, pull a coin out, flip it. Well, that's David Jones, as far as I'm concerned. You know, because he's gonna take a workout.
Right.
What's the NBA going to say? You're trying to tell me that dude can't get a two-way? That dude can't get a shot with the way he scores it?
Yeah, but is his two-way going to come close to what, you know, Penny can offer?
It'll depend, yeah.
They'll offer him more than they were offering Lester Quinones. We both know that.
Fair point. You're right. I mean,
that's not exactly the same.
But, like, you still have to fill out 4, 5, 6 other spots.
Oh, 1,000%.
You know, like, that's the problem.
Well, and then, you know, you get to midseason, and it's not looking like Memphis basketball to you, and you wonder why. Because, again, many of these guys came in late. Ideally, now the key is going to be to try to get the bulk of this before June. You know, we made the point on Friday to hit on guys that you have prioritized and made a target initially. You cannot be set back like you were last year. You miss on Jaden Bradley, the kid, the point guard from Alabama that you wanted first. He goes to Arizona. You're stuck there late having to add Javon Quinley. Look what that did. Look
how
those late dominoes cost you. Number one, you said you wanted them all in here by June. And so, again, good thing in case of Haggerty, good thing it appears in the case of Danger,
yes,
you've knocked out guys that you wanted, because if you miss, and the opportunity grows to miss, when you've got this many openings, if you miss, again, you threaten to set the train off the tracks a little bit more. So hopefully he's hitting on these top guys. Again, Ashton, you knew what you were going to get. At least with shooting, you had a baseline. You knew that, okay, here's a prospect. I can put him in at some point. He's going to be able to hit shots. You saw it this year against Michigan. You know, letting him walk out the door, you're only giving yourself more work, seems like to me. You can always recruit better players, but when you open, when you have this many, you know, the possibility that it's all going to fall apart, that there'll be bad chemistry, those things go up. So it just again, we've said it over and over again, you're making it harder on yourself.
Absolutely right. So that happened on Friday night, or Friday afternoon, I should say. And now, again, you're off to a good start with Danger and Haggerty. Off to a really good start in the portal. But, man, you have so much more to do. You got to go get some shooting. You got to go get, probably some big man depth.
I mean, you need another point guard.
I know Haggerty
was on ball, and I feel, but between the turnovers between him and David Jones, you need another ball handler, and preferably
right,
one that could play some defense for you.
Exactly.
You know, whether you're going to put him out there with Jones, Haggerty, or have him behind Haggerty, one way or the other, but you're going to have to get another point guard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like,
so you need just about everything still.
I would really like go after
this kid. You know, there's rumors about this. Is it the North Texas kid?
Oh, Aaron Scott. Yeah.
Neither leading scorer.
He's kind of like a 6'7" sort of springy type. I would go after Thierro, man. I would make a call. You know, because his dad has the history here, and you know he showed some flashes last year. He didn't play that much, but you know, I thought like, you know,
the big at Kentucky for those, the backup, right? Backup.
Well, he's actually a guard. They kind of used him like as a wing type. And he's big. He's 6'8". He averaged 7 and 5. But, you know, I think.
You list him as a wing?
Well, they've got him. He could play off the bounce. And on ESPN, they let him list as a guard, too. I mean, he could be a tweener for you, you know? I mean,
yeah, I mean, I hear I'd rather him
right, play four,
inside.
You know? Yeah, I mean, at that size, for sure. But, I mean, I would make some, you know,
you got wings, bro.
Yeah.
Especially if Jones is back.
Well, you
got
to have a plan, though, if he doesn't. Because we won't know on him
no,
until
you're right.
May.
You're right.
So I feel like we, you know, you gotta try to say, all right, maybe Aaron Scott is that, but I mean, nothing wrong with Aaron Scott. I mean, he's a fine player, but you know, I want to take a shot on a guy too, like take a swing.
Well, John, we have many scholarships available.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We have plenty
of. But what you can't be is what you were last year. You still got to have a pecking order. You take all the top guys from all these guys. You had the same thing you had last year. We don't have a pecking order.
Aaron Scott shot 42% from the floor, 37% from three, 79% from the free throw line, 11 and 6, basically.
Need that the 3-point shooting in particular.
Yeah.
Especially Ashton out and Haggerty, that's not his bag.
I just like, you know, the whole AAC Avengers thing, you know, is that really going to lead to, you know, Elite Eights, bro? Like, I mean, I get it, but it's like, are you capped? Is your ceiling capped if you're just going to get all the best players from, like, crappy teams? You know, that's what I worry about.
I don't need all of them.
Right. Like,
now, they didn't take all of them. I told you, they turned down Ivy Curry.
Yes. Okay. Perfect.
So that shows me.
That would have been, yes.
And in that case, very specifically, he only had one more year.
Yeah.
And again, maybe that's part of what you're doing here.
Yes.
You're looking for guys that have multiple years so you can, again, combat what we've said, this lack
Robert,
of continuity.
Aaron Scott's a junior, so he have 2 years, maybe three.
There you go.
You know?
See, I like targeting those guys. We've said, you're going to be hitting the portal. He's got to.
Yeah.
Because you don't have time to develop freshmen.
No, I like it, actually. He's gotten better every single year. His minutes have gone up every single year.
There seems to be some buzz about him.
Okay, I like it. I'm in. But yeah, like I would just say to Penny, like, it's okay to recruit outside of the league. Like, the league does suck, so I would not.
I mean, he got your boy from Illinois. You know,
that's true. Which is good.
In that case, you went to a better conference.
Yeah. No, I think what you said about Jordan Ivey Curry is a good one. It's a good take. It's a good pull there because that would have been like, okay, we're just going to take all the hot leading scores on bad AAC teams.
Right.
That is not a recipe for success. But, you know, taking a guy here or there that played a role, right? I mean, Haggerty, we know. I mean, you got to have a guy. And you don't know that David Jones is coming back. You don't know that.
No, you're right about that. You got to really have a plan B.
So, worst case scenario, if David Jones decides, right, if he says, I'm not coming back, well, we know who the center of the offense is. You've got that.
The second leading scorer in the American last year, it'll be a PJ.
Yes. And if David Jones does come back, you'll just have to get it to a place where they can play together.
Yeah.
And I think that's possible. Like, I think, but I don't know. I don't know for a fact. Either way, Penny does have a long off season in front of him. The good news for him is that his staff is going to remain intact.
Oh, how Stansberry is so helpful.
Yes. He's not having to replace an assistant.
It's a lot more work if you don't have him.
Yes.
You know, so he has to be very beneficial to Penny at this point. I understand. I mean, he's as locked in on this stuff as Penny is. So it's sort of you've got a right hand in this with Stansberry.
Exactly. All right. Hey, Mark Spears is going to join us at 12:25, talk NBA with him. We'll do the rundown. Lots to get to. National championship game tonight. I'll tell you how I feel about that one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com.
Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.